Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 54. Daiteya Yaksha Rakshamsi Striya Sudra Rajokashasa Kaga Mriga Papa Jiva Santi Hi Achutatam Kata Daiteya Yaksha Rakshamsi Striya Sudra Vrajokasa Kaga Mriga Papa Jiva Santi Yututatam Kata Daiteya Yaksha Rakshamsi Striyak Sudra Vrajokasa Kaga Mriga Papa Jiva Santi Achuta Tatam Gata. Daiteya, O demons. Yaksha Rakshamsi, the living entities known as Yakshas and Rakshashas. Striya, women. Shudra, the laborer class. Raja Okasa, village cowherdmen. Kaga, birds. Mriga, animals. Papa Jiva, sinful living entities. Santi, can become. He, certainly. Achutatam, the qualities of Achuta, the Supreme Lord. Kata, obtain. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All my friends, O sons of demons, everyone including you, the Yakshas and Rakshashas, the unintelligent women, Sudras and coward men, the birds, the lower animals, and the sinful living entities, can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of Bhakti Yoga. Purport. The devotees are referred to as Achuta Gotra, or the dynasty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is called Achuta as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, Senayor Uvayaram Adye Ritam Stapayam Achuta. The Lord is infallible in the material world because He is the Supreme Spiritual Person. Similarly, the Jivas, who are part and parcel of the Lord, can also become infallible. Although Prahlad's mother was in the conditional state and was the wife of a demon, even Yakshas, Rakshashas, women, Shudras, and even birds and other lower living entities can be elevated to the Achuta Gotra, the family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the highest perfection. As Krishna never falls, when we revive our spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, we never fall again to material existence. One should understand the position of the Supreme Achuta, Krishna, who says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham vinara janma naiti mam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but obtains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. One should understand Achuta, the Supreme Infallible, and how we are related with Him. And one should take to the service of the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Srila Madhvacharya says, achutatam chuti varjanam. The word achutatam refers to one who never falls to this material world, but always remains in the Vaikuntha world, fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Daiteya yaksha rakshamsi spriya sudra vrakchokasa kagamriga papajiva santi yuchutatam gata. O my friends, O sons of demons, everyone including you, the yakshas and rakshashas, the unintelligent women, shudras and coward men, the birds, the lower animals, and the sinful living entities, can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of bhakti yoga. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Shunyavari Paskatya De Siddharne. There are different paths of gradually increasing one's perfection in life. Everyone is trying to become perfect in the material world. Perfect means perfectly happy forever. There's no question that one can be perfect and miserable at the same time. That's like, for instance, in modern society, they claim that the society is increasing its perfection. But people are more miserable than ever, as seen by the increased rate of crime, suicides, distress. Therefore, what kind of perfection is that? It is just like if one is thinking, I will prepare a perfect meal and have a big feast. Just like for the Sankirtan festival, there'll be a big feast. But at the end of the feast, if there's just some pieces of wood and some plastic and other things, what kind of feast is that? Similarly, if society, the aim of society is that people can become happy and aware of how to be happy, and if at the same time society is simply producing more misery, then what is the value of such a society? What is the advancement? Similarly, in the Vedic culture, there is a scientific process of gradually increasing one's awareness of how to be happy. There are different types of happiness for different types of people. In the gross material conception of life, one is trying to figure out how to lord it over the material nature. Lord it over the material nature, it is said by Queen Kunti, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri Veer Edamanak Madak Puman. Material advancement is seen as being born in a very opulent family or society. For instance, here in Belgium or Holland, it is a European country, therefore they have money. And therefore it's considered to be desirable, rather than being born in a place in Africa where there is little money or little food or whatever. If one takes birth in a European American country, it is considered to be advanced. And Aishwarya, because money is considered to be the basis to fulfill one's desires. That if one can get a car and ride it on the street and have a nice house and put wood in it so it's warm or oil, then one is considered to be successful. And Shruta, if one has knowledge of how to manipulate the material nature, this is also considered to be desirable. And Shri Bir, personal beauty. Therefore, Janmaishvarya, Shruta, Shri Bir. These are the things that people in general, they consider to be successful. So, if one follows the Vedic knowledge, then one will take a higher birth, even higher than European or American, one can go to the heavenly planets. He can obtain all kinds of Aishvarya, material opulence, including mystic powers, etc. So, the Vedic literature, when it's properly followed, gives one all kinds of material facilities. Therefore, people, they like it. For instance, in the Puranas, there's mention of all kinds of herbs, and if they're properly applied, they cure disease. There's mentions of mantras you can chant and defeat your enemies or win the person you are attracted to. And people, they would chant these mantras, follow the procedure, and they'd get their desired result. So this is called karmakanda. Learning how to manipulate the material world to get the result. This is in the realm of science. That is what the scientists are more or less unsuccessfully trying to do. They say if you mix this formula together and you brush it on your teeth, then when you smile, the opposite sex will become enchanted. They say like that. Or you roll this underneath your arm and it'll smell so nice that everyone will become surrendered. So this is called science. They say that they know how, what is the method of manipulating the material nature. And to some extent at least, although they can't create products that do anything, but they have some idea of psychology to convince people that they can do something. Most of the money that they spend, hundreds and thousands of dollars, or hundreds and thousands and millions of Belgian francs, is all meant to advertise, to convince people from through advertisement to brainwash them on a subtle level to buy their product, however useless it may be. Mostly, they spend millions of dollars on advertisements for alcohol. And usually they show some old person, old people, and suddenly by some contact association with this alcohol, they become enlivened. They become animated to engage again in the real purpose of life, which they forgot, sex life. So this is generally their advertisement in the... this is the wonderful scientific understanding that the modern psychologists have come up with. How to manipulate people, even at the verge of death, to stimulate them for sex life and intoxication. But the Vedic literature is far more sophisticated. It actually knows what ingredients produce what effects in the material world. And therefore, they explain these things within the Vedas. And people develop faith in the Veda by reading it. But finally, one will learn through the Vedas that any way you manipulate the material world produces the same effect, namely different varieties of misery. Some varieties of misery may be advertised as happiness. They produce less suffering. But in any circumstance, being in the material world is miserable. Therefore, in the Gyanakanda section, it explains how we're not the body, that we're actually a spiritual being, and the method of finally liberating oneself from all kinds of material conceptions, finally becoming able to meditate on Brahman, and realize the state of existence beyond all material miseries. So this is called Gyan and Karma. Practically speaking, people do not know what Gyan and Karma in this material world. All they have is Vigyan and Agyan, or they have Vikarma and Agyan. Namely, ignorance and sinful activities. They vary. Sometimes they become enthused to perform sinful activities, and then they renounce this for ignorance. But in the Vedic literature, there is real gyan and there is real karma. There is real activities. They know what will produce the right effects, and there is real understanding of what reality is. But here it says that although Gyan and Karma are generally meant for elevated personalities within this material world, to understand, for instance, most people cannot become PhD scientists. because of the complications involved. What to speak of the complications involved in Vedic rituals and sacrifices, how to pronounce the mantras perfectly, because if there's some mistake, then there is problems. Just like, for instance, even expert priests were chanting the mantras to invoke a demon to kill Indra. But by once, in the midst of thousands and thousands of slokas, by simply putting the accent on the wrong syllable, instead of producing a demon who would kill Indra, they produced a demon who Indra would kill. So that didn't give them very much progress. So what to speak of ourselves, even to chant one verse from Bhagavad Gita, we may make so many mistakes. And if we got the reaction that, for instance, the demons, when Krishna had killed Kasiraj, he was a friend of, what was his name? At Pundarik. Pundraka, Kasiraj, he fought on the side of Pundraka. Pundraka, he lost his head, and so did Kasiraj. So, Krishna cut off Kasiraj's head with his Sudarsan chakra, and his head wound up, in the city of Kasi. So everyone thought, oh, this is very nice, Kasiraj has cut off Krishna's head and thrown it into the city of Kasi so everyone can enjoy. But then they looked at the head and they saw, wow, that looked like Kasiraj. Therefore his son, his name was Sudarshana, became very disturbed. So he performed one sacrifice, and the sacrifice, he hired some Brahmins, they performed one sacrifice, and one demon was produced, fiery demon, which immediately went to Dwarka to burn the city. Unfortunately for the demon, Krishna threw his Sudarsan chakra, and the demon decided that he probably should come back some other day. So he left the city, ran back to the city of Kasi, and burnt all the Brahmins and Sudarshana who had performed the sacrifice. And then the Sudarsan chakra came and burnt the city of Kasi, or now is known as Varanasi, burnt it to the ground. Therefore, simply by some improper chanting, or if one does not get the proper result, then a very inauspicious result would occur. So we can just imagine if we got the same effect from chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. If we committed an offense that our hands would fall off, and our ears would fall out, like that. So we could see all the hands and feet littering the temple room. So luckily, these things do not occur. But in the Vedic mantras, these things do occur. Therefore, it was not recommended that ordinary persons chant the Vedic mantra. It is said that there was some drought in the kingdom of Lord Ramachandra, and therefore he took off and journeyed all over the planet to find out what was wrong. And he saw one sudra performing austerity, so he immediately cut off the sudra's head. So we may think, well, that sounds pretty extreme. I mean, if we could find some sudra performing austerities nowadays, we'd probably think, well, we'd probably invite them to the temple. Quite an elevated person. But the point is that in the actual culture, if austerities or sacrifice or penance were not performed exactly according to the Vedic injunctions, they produce inauspicious results. Therefore, it was never recommended that lower class people perform such activities. Only elevated Brahmins were recommended to perform such type of sacrifice or penance or austerities. Others were meant to follow their particular ashram and varna, and therefore gradually become elevated to the platform where they could perform such sacrifice. Therefore, in India, the smarter Brahmins were very disturbed when they saw Prabhupada making Malechas and Yavanas Brahmins. They thought this would spoil the Veda culture. And indeed it would spoil the Veda culture if it was not for the fact that beyond mundane activities found in the Vedas are transcendental activities found in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, etc. That by surrendering to Krishna, as it is said, Mamhi Partavya Pashitya, Yepi Supapayonaya, Sudras, Yepi Supapayonaya, Striyo Vaishastata, Sudras, Tepianti Param Gatim. That anyone, whether they be a lower birth, Vaishyas, Sudras, or women, they can obtain the supreme perfection if they take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kirata Hunanda Pulindra Pukasha Abira Yavana Shumbaka Shadaya Yenye Chapapa Upapa Shraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Pravadishnave Namaha. That by contact of Krishna, that everyone or anyone, whatever their status is, they can be elevated to the highest perfectional stage of life. Therefore, we are not so much interested in the Vedic rituals, but what we are interested in those activities which bring one into contact with Krishna. Because by coming in contact with Krishna, all disqualifications of lower birth are washed away. Just like in the presence of fire, then all kinds of impurities are burnt up. So, if we can come in contact with Krishna, that this is the one activity which can elevate one to the highest professional stage of life, beyond the three modes of material nature. And that activity is devotional service to Krishna. Krishna says, Bhakti mam abhijananti yava nyas chasmi tattvataha tyaktvadeham punarjanma. Bhakti mam abhijananti yava nyas chasmi tattvataha tatomam tattvato gyatva vishite tat anantara. It is by the execution of activities in this material world, concentrating the mind upon Krishna with some feelings of love, that Krishna can reciprocate such feelings on the part of anyone. Just like Queen Kunti has prayed, Tata Paramahansanam, Muninam Amalatmanam, Bhakti Yoga Vidanartam, Katam Pasyema Histriyaha. That, how is it possible for ourselves, being women, to actually understand you? That even great Paramahansas, great elevated saintly persons, Tata Paramahansanam, Muninam Amalatmanam, and perfected mental speculators, they cannot understand you. So it is possible if one takes to the loving service of Krishna, because this is the ultimate purpose of Vedic culture, is to teach one how to focus one's consciousness on Krishna and love him. So although by Vedic culture one can learn perfectly how to manipulate the material world and even how to become free from all kinds of material entanglements, but ultimately the real purpose of the Vedas is to elevate one, convince one to give one's love to Krishna. So if one can accept that process called devotional service as outlined in 9 different processes, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna, if one can accept that, then at once one can become elevated to the highest perfectional, or gradually one will become elevated to the highest perfectional stage of life, even without following the rituals of the Vedas. So in this age, it is not possible to understand the power of the Vedas through following them. It is only possible to understand the power of Krishna's words by the process of devotional service. Otherwise, even in this age, if one tries to get entangled in the Vedas, he may commit a few mistakes, chant the mantras wrong, produce a few ill effects, and maybe wind up in a pile of ashes somewhere. And in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the perfect process of the essence of the Vedas to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And hear and chant about Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. Therefore, this philosophy is open to everyone, especially in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada's books do not contain anything about Vedic rituals. They simply contain about the glories of Krishna, the glories of devotional service. And if one can simply accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give one's energy to Him, whether His bodily activities or His money or His intelligence trying to advance the Krishna consciousness movement, or ultimately fully engage himself in Krishna's service, if one can do that, then it's assured gradually Krishna will reciprocate and one will develop more and more experience of devotional service and gradually come to the platform of understanding what it means to be part of Krishna's family again by engaging in transcendental loving service to Krishna. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Well, it probably has some bearing. I mean, we should pronounce it in such a way it has some meaning. Just like the most important Sanskrit words we're chanting are Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So we should try to pronounce them properly. Not that, well, in this age it doesn't matter how you chant them. Therefore, shnik, shnik, ram, ram, day, 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 day. Or hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. That'll have the same effect. No, we should chant Krishna's name in such a way is that it reminds us of Krishna having a flute and peacock feather and yellow dhoti and etc. So, we should have some idea. But the pronunciation is secondary to the... I mean, we should try and pronounce things properly. But the feeling is more important. What's that? No, the Vedic rituals keep you right here. It did work. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. The Vedic rituals attract one to the material energy. Just like everyone in the material world wants to be powerful. So if you had the mystic power, Prapti Siddhi, you could reach your hand out, immediately get a clubman from anywhere. Get Mahaprasad from Dwarka or from some other temple. So this was very attractive. One would think, oh, things aren't so bad. So by Vedic, according to one's expertise in chanting Vedic mantras, one is able to produce different effects up to highest mystic powers or even liberation, practically speaking. So it does work. That's why people stay in the material world. Because there is opportunity. Just like, for instance, even the material scientists, they have some idea of how to manipulate the material world to some extent. Not very high extent. But if it wasn't for that, everyone would be quite frustrated and disappointed. If they didn't have these airplanes, if they didn't have these cars, they didn't have the television set, and the radio, and the computer, what would be the credit of the scientists? But because they have these things, people play around with them. They're content to play around with these things. So Vedic rituals, they produce food grains and cows and mystic vimanas and mystic powers and all kinds of things. So people are content. That's why we came back. Try it once. Sometimes, at least some devotees may come to preach here, but sometimes people come back to the material world to just try it one more time, see if they can get the perfect mantra down. Just like salesmen, they practice their mantras so they can make a lot of money. So those who are a little more elevated, they practice the Vedic mantras so they can get whatever they want here. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande.